WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Vince Kong, and this is Redux. It's March 24th. On this episode of Redux, the Friends of Hemming Park have a friend in Mayor Curry. Well, at least for the next 6 months anyway. The city is giving the nonprofit more time to find more ways to improve its marquee park. We'll hear from the nonprofit's interim CEO, nearby business owners, and you, our listeners. We also have a couple updates, including how one company wants to transform Jacksonville's downtown into an innovation hub. And finally, remember when we brought you that story about Jacksonville becoming a skateboarding mecca? Well, the idea of an urban skateboard safari is still on the table. But first, some news.
And everything is going to the beat. And everything is going to the beat. And everything is going to...
Governor Rick Scott was in Jacksonville this past week. The purpose for his visit? Jobs. Scott says the state needs to market itself and offer business incentives in order to continue to grow, but the House has voted to eliminate Florida's Economic Development Organization while cutting marketing dollars. Scott spoke against the cuts at a Fighting for Jobs roundtable he held this past week. WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride has a story.
Northeast Florida city officials and business owners met Scott at Harbinger, a sign-making company on Jacksonville's south side. The governor spoke against a bipartisan group of five Northeast Florida state representatives who voted this month to abolish Enterprise Florida, the agency that offers incentive packages to businesses. Most of the lawmakers also voted to cut Visit Florida dollars for tourism marketing.
We're on a roll. Why would we change what's worked? We've added 1.3 million jobs in 6 years. 1.3 million people that didn't have a job 6 years ago have a job today. Enterprise Florida, it's transparent. We get a great return on your tax dollars. Visit Florida, one out of every six jobs. One out of every six jobs in the state is tied to tourism.
He says that includes tourism jobs and hotel stays. Several locals came in support of keeping the funding, including Florida State College at Jacksonville President Cynthia Bioto and Jacksonville City Council members Danny Becton, Aaron Bowman, and Jim Love.
Jobs aren't going to grow themselves. You have to go out there and get them. Every other state's doing it, and if we stop doing it, it's just going to make it easier for them. They're licking their chops when Florida stops advertising and telling how great it is.
They credited Enterprise Florida incentives for helping bring Amazon to Jacksonville and expanding Johnson & Johnson. But as our sister station WLRN reports, Palm Coast Republican Representative Paul Renner says many jobs promised in exchange for incentives never materialized. He's sponsoring the defunding bills because he says there are better uses of taxpayer dollars like public safety or education. The bills now move to the Senate, which can take up the bills as they are, amend them, substitute them, or do nothing at all. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
And now, Fernandina Beach Republican Senator Aaron Bean is under an ethics investigation for potentially profiting off a budget item he requested for a friend. The $1 million request for a mental health project was tucked into the budget for Florida State University's medical school, which is not subject to veto by Governor Rick Scott. As WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, Scott says he'd like to have more oversight on similar spending requests moving forward.
The Naples Daily News first broke this story, detailing Bean's attempt to secure $750,000 in state funds for a mental health screening program run by Catherine Drew, wife of Nassau County tax collector John Drew. The Drews and Bean have been friends for years. When lawmakers rejected his line item ask, $1 million for the program appeared shortly thereafter in the FSU budget. Governor Scott has the power to veto specific budget requests, but tucking the appropriation into the university spending plan shields it from his view. Scott says he'd like to see that change.
It ought to be lined out so everybody knows exactly how everything is spent. I mean, everything ought to be done that way. Everything ought to be done that way. So for you as a taxpayer, I mean, you as a voter, you should know.
Emails obtained by the Naples Daily News show Drew asking Bean to try getting the money approved through other channels and saying everyone involved would make money together. Bean has denied he profited from the plan through a spokeswoman. He also confirmed the Florida Ethics Commission is investigating. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Some people still don't get podcasts. So all this month, we're asking you to tell a friend about a podcast they'll love. Now tell us what podcast you recommend with the hashtag TryPod. That's T-R-Y pod. Thanks for spreading the word.
Switching gears now to take a look at the future of Hemming Park. The nonprofit that manages downtown Jacksonville's centerpiece is getting another chance to prove that it can handle the responsibility. Mayor Lenny Curry originally planned for the city to take back control of the park after the nonprofit Friends of Hemming Park misspent public funds. But Curry last week announced he's going to extend Friends' lease for another 6 months. WJCT's Ryan Bank caught up with business owners around Hemming Park who say parks management affects them too.
Chamberlain's bookstore manager and book appraiser Jennifer O'Donnell is ringing up customers Wednesday afternoon. She says when the bookstore first opened across from Hemming, it was touch and go.
We've been down here for 9 years, and the first year or two that we were down here, it was kind of scary. There weren't a lot of people walking around.
But she says once the nonprofit Friends of Hemming Park gained control in 2014, things changed. Not only did the park look cleaner and more inviting, but regular events brought more people into the shop and cafe. But the nonprofit Friends came under fire last year when a report found financial irregularities in the park's budget. Some of the more than $1 million in city funds were misspent on things like employee lunches and TVs. Eventually, Mayor Curry announced the city would regain control and Hemming would revert back to a passive park, losing its regular event programming. O'Donnell thinks that would be a mistake.
I'm very blunt. It's stupid. That's what I think. They need to program the park. Having a green space is good. But the thing is, if they think that it's going to keep the homeless, the vagrants out, not the homeless, but the vagrants, the off-the-grid people, they're wrong.
Next to Chamberlain's, Magnificat Cafe owner Kathy DeClay agrees. She's been downtown for 14 years, and she says the city has already proven it isn't up to the task of maintaining Hemming.
I know that there was a problem with the nonprofit. There was some accountability issues when it came to finances, and that's a huge deal. So, they need to take care of those glitches, definitely, or get another nonprofit, another organization, something else, but to do what they did before, forget about it. It's the worst plan for Jacksonville's downtown ever.
City Council will be voting in the next several weeks on the mayor's plan to give the nonprofit another $400,000 and 6 months to prove itself or risk losing control for good. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Mismanagement of city funds by Friends of Hemming Park led to the departure of its CEO, Vince Cavan. Bill Prescott, the group's interim director, joined us on First Coast Connect earlier this week to discuss how things will be different this time around.
It was a little bit of learning. I think what got lost in the conversation was originally the city put in $1 million. We raised over $300,000 in private donations that came in. All the funds were commingled. So you began to take a look, well, who was spending what? What dollars on what? And that was one of the things that came out is we immediately said, for the city, said, hey, listen, we want to spend our dollars on clean and safe, not on programming. And so last August, we separated out accounts. And so the city knows exactly what we're spending the dollars on. That's how I think we got over that hurdle in terms of financial responsibility.
Emily Moody, co-owner of Wolf & Cub Boutique on Laura Street across the way from the park, discussed the importance of groups like Friends of Hemming in bringing more events downtown, which translates to more people and, of course, more business.
Well, one of the reasons that we moved downtown was because we knew that activation was happening with businesses like Candy Apple and Friends of Hemming. So now there's a little bit of a bump in the road. We can definitely see a difference in the momentum. But, you know, this weekend was awesome. Gastrofest was packed and it was really positive. But the density there with the non-transient versus just the regular citizens of Jacksonville being in the park was outnumbered. But when it's just day to day, you don't have that density of people there that are showing up and participating in businesses and supporting what's going on down there.
You can hear the entire interview on our First Coast Connect page at wjctnews.org. You can also download the First Coast Connect podcast wherever you download podcasts. We're also going to hear from our listeners about what they think should be the future of Hemming Park. Starting things off, here's Jim from Riverside.
Sounds to me that the city sort of has its priorities whacked a little bit here. They're asking Friends of Hemming Park to be responsible for the safe and clean aspect of the park. And if it's a city park, that's the city of Jacksonville's responsibility. Sounds like they just wanted to farm out their own responsibility, and they don't want to fund what actually makes Friends of Hemming Park valuable and brings added value to the park, and that's the programming. The programming that brings everyone else downtown, and then it feels like more of a normal downtown. And that's the point. That's the added value of Friends of Hemming Park, is the programming.
Here's another entry in our continuing coverage of the downtown Shipyards property. The latest is a proposal submitted to the city that would turn the Shipyards property, as well as Metropolitan Park, into what developers are calling the Innovation District. WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride has the report.
Spokespeople for companies behind the proposal say their vision includes green park space in front of the river, lots of walkability, and what's called a jobs factory. That would be a central place for resources for people to develop their ideas into businesses, says Jason Walker of Chattanooga's EMJ Corporation, which is partnering on the proposal.
That's going to be a collaborative, co-working, co-living, co-shopping building that just exudes entrepreneurial energy, creativity, and growth.
He says that means the property will be wired with fiber optics for high-speed internet,
so that we've got bandwidth to support technology.
EMJ Corporation and Wes Holdings of Texas, the lead developer on the proposal, wants this to be the first of 100 jobs factories across the U.S. Jacksonville's John Newman of Mission One Global Holdings is also partnering on the plan. He says creating new businesses and business leaders is more important than using the land to build tourist attractions.
And the reason why to this day Jacksonville Landing is in either disrepair or it is in decline is because there was not a sustainability model. We just simply put up something, thought it'd be nice, and thought that we'd simply get it done. It didn't.
The proposal is going up against two others, including one by Jacksonville Jaguars owner Shad Khan and another proposal to build Florida's tallest structure on the site. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
Well, I guess I'm not a friend of Hemming Park. I work in the area. I live downtown. And all I ever see in Hemming Park are the homeless. I wouldn't feel safe there. And I don't shop in that area. I don't even know what shops are in that area. I'd like to be able to walk downtown and enjoy downtown without having to be panhandled or worried about some mentally ill person coming up to me and trying to carry on a conversation, or even people that have criminal intent.
That was William calling in from downtown Jacksonville. Up next,
a skate park that doesn't look like a skate park. It's taking an approach that just emulates obstacles and things you would see in the natural, you know, downtown environment.
Find out how Jacksonville is one step closer to becoming a skateboarding mecca. But first, St. Johns County officials want to hear what residents think about potential medical marijuana regulations. As Jessica Palumbo reports, time is of the essence to pass local rules, with several marijuana bills up for consideration in Tallahassee during this legislative session.
Not only is the state legislature considering a handful of marijuana bills, but voters last year passed a state constitutional amendment that will make the drug more widely available by October. That in mind, the St. Johns County Board of Commissioners is eager to set a local framework, if that's what the people want. They're holding a medical marijuana workshop on Thursday, April 13th at the St. Johns County Permit Center on Lewis Speedway. Topics will include possible zoning and permitting regulations for medical marijuana retail stores and treatment. County staff last month presented four possible options to the board, ranging from do nothing and let the state sort out the rules to a temporary moratorium on medical marijuana licenses and permits. Draft rules will be crafted after the public gives input. Jessica Palumbo, WJCT News.
And finally, last year, Jacksonville City Councilman Bill Gulliford introduced a bill that would have made skateboarding illegal in most of the downtown area. Since then, the bill's been on hold while he meets with skateboarders in hopes of reaching a compromise. WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride has an update.
When Gulliford introduced the bill last June, skateboarders weren't happy. After several meetings with them, they decided a trail of mini skate parks throughout downtown and Riverside on city-owned parcels of land could be a solution. But it's been about 6 months since the last public meeting on it.
So the last meeting I went to with them, you know, I think you instructed them to go out and like look at some parcels and, right. and see. Okay, have you met since then? Is there any more movement?
Yes, we've identified, I think, 6 or 7, 8 parcels, and Parks and Rec are looking at them. So we've been meeting with particularly the gentleman that runs Kona.
He's referring to Martin Ramos, the owner of Kona Skate Park.
Right now, it seems the focus is mainly on the Main Street Park.
The Main Street Pocket Park is behind the main library downtown. On Tuesday, lots of people are sitting along raised concrete flower beds, and there's a man reciting a sermon, no skateboarders. But Ramos says this could be the first one developed for skating.
A skate park that doesn't look like a skate park because it's taking an approach that just emulates obstacles and things you would see in the natural, you know, downtown environment, but just optimizing them for skateboarding.
That means modern art pieces could also be skate friendly, along with stairs and rails. He says it would fulfill a need for street skaters who are often forgotten about in skate park design. And he's eyeing other parcels, one that could be good for longboard skaters who want to cruise, another for people who want to skate ramps, and one for kids just starting out. The idea is the skate spots would all be within a couple miles, forming a trail around downtown. He says right now he's working with some contractors to draw up a plan for the Main Street Park.
We may be at a point where we need to take a step back and just get a little bit of funding just for the development part.
He's hoping to be able to have a plan ready over the next couple months.
And possibly get, you know, city council involved at that point.
And are you confident the city council will be on board?
No, not at all. It's super progressive.
But he hopes to open their eyes. Gulliford says as for the bill making skating mostly illegal downtown,
probably that's going to get amended or changed or withdrawn.
Meanwhile, a new skate park opened up at Jacksonville Beach earlier this month. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
And that's our show. If you want to learn more about the stories you heard today, please visit our website, wjctnews.org. Also, never miss an episode of this podcast by subscribing on your favorite podcast app. And if you like what you heard, leave us a review on iTunes. This was Redux from WJCT in Jacksonville. I'm Vince Kong, and thank you for listening.